Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Yes, not today. Good morning. I was asked to preach in Schurz. When was that, Ryan? Last month? And so I got together what I felt the Lord put on my heart. And it was Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so I've been preparing for this for a long time. I gathered all my notes up when I volunteered to preach this Sunday. And I have to confess, I haven't hardly used any of them. In fact, yesterday I had a revision of a revision of a revision. So we'll see what the Lord brings us this morning. But I was advised the first time I ever spoke, you need to get the audience attention right up front. Get them hooked so they're paying attention. I am not going to sing. No, I'll bless your heart with that. But the first thing I want to do here this morning to get your attention is I'm going to read something from 2 Timothy that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and it's in chapter 1. And starting in verse 5, Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, this morning, I'm not going to lay my hands on you, but I'm going to lay my voice on you. So here's what I'm going to get your attention with. Anyone know Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5? "Hear, O Israel! The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Do I have your attention? Amen. Yes. I don't have a big voice, but the Lord's blessed me with a few things. Well, let's look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to read through, and then I'm going to go back, and we're going to get into what I feel is very pertinent in these two verses. I think I got a little ambitious, including verse 2, but verse 2 needs to go with verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I read a small book Becky gave me recently. It was written by a woman named, and I'm probably going to slay her name, but I'm going to pronounce it Rosen Rosevier. And I want to quote her today. And she's talking about sacrifice. And I don't want to misquote this, so I'm going to get my papers closer for my poor eyes to read better. "Today, we weigh up what we can afford to give him." Sound familiar? Obedience tends to be a cold, legal word of calculated action, which it is. Sacrifice throbs with life and passion. Certainly the one will inevitably involve the other. Sacrifice can only be worked out by obedience, but obedience will need sacrifice to give it fire and momentum. End quote. So when Paul writes, "I beseech you, I love to know more than what my definition of words is." And so when Paul is beseeching, I looked at the Webster dictionary to find out what Webster said. And Webster said, to supplicate, to implore, to ask or pray with urgency. So these words that Paul brings to us, the Holy Spirit brought to Paul first. And so he says, "Brethren, by the mercies of God." Well, our class in Sunday school has been studying in Romans. So I'm going to use Romans to show the mercies of God. But why do we need the mercies of God? Well, Psalms 14, verses 1 and 3. And I want to read that for you because I do not want to foul up here. It says, in Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one." Why do we need the mercies of God? Because we're sinners. So I'm going to delve in this morning to some of the mercies of God brought to you by the Holy Spirit and written in the book of Romans. So if you want to flip to Romans, we're going to be in Romans for a bit. Our class has been in Romans for how long, Linda? We're not finished yet. We may finish if the Lord doesn't come first. But let's look at Romans. And we're going to, we're going to start in Romans 3. And we're going to start in verse 21. Now, this is not exhaustive. We would be here all day. And I have brought my chronometer. You may not recognize it. It's a flip phone. To make sure that we are not here past lunchtime. So there's my promise. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Grace, the just and the justifier, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He has had mercy, and he is the just and the justifier. So now let's look a little farther down into Romans, Romans 5. Since verse 5, or chapter 5 starts, or verse 1 starts with therefore, what is therefore, therefore? So we need to go back a skosh. Let's look at 4, starting in 23. It says, now it was not written for his sake alone. We're talking about, excuse me. Abraham. That it was imputed to him, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, that's a capital H, Jesus, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Now, verse 1 in chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not us, huh? It's mercy. It's God's mercy that has brought us the peace. Because when we were sinners, we were at enmity. We were enemies of God. But Jesus, the Son of God, came down to us, to mankind, the just and the justifier, who redeemed us. Did we deserve it? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? No. Why, thank you, Heather. I bless you. By the way, it is hot up here. So we have access through this faith. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about how we struggle to be obedient and how we struggle with sin in our lives and to not do the will of the Lord. Well, we have access to the Father. Jesus said many times, he told us, there will be tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're not overcomers on our own. I don't know about you, but when I get out there on that thin ice, me, myself, and I, that's when I get into trouble. But we have a just and a justifier who is given that sacrifice to redeem us, to buy us back. So we have John 1:9. If you confess your sin, you repent. He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. Ever bit of it? Like, it never happened. Isn't that how it is written? That's right. So flip over to Romans 6. Starting in verse 15. And this chapter in Romans is headed in my Bible. It says, dead to sin, alive to God. So in verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God, I love it when you see, but God. That knows no bounds of joy in my heart. But God, be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine of which you were delivered in. Having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Oh my. What a mercy. Has anybody asked you for mercy? Forgive me? I don't know if I can do that. Well, I tell you, on your own, you absolutely cannot. But what can you do? In Philippians chapter 4, 3, I can do all things on my own through Christ who strengthens me. We know that because of his word, when we're weak, when we're going through whatever it is God puts on our plate, doubt, indecision, death, cancer, loss of all you had. Oh, all you had here. You cannot lose eternal life. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and no one can pluck them from my hand. Sounds pretty sure. When we come before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to see how our works will stand up. Because those that are not of the Lord will be burned up, and they will become as nothing. Mercy, by the mercies of God. Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 6. But now, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You realize the law, what was the law given for? Point out transgression, to point out what sin is. And Jesus said, I did not come to negate the law. I came to fulfill the law. Stephen, can you fulfill the law? There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No, we couldn't. Because if we could have, we would not have needed a Savior who could fulfill the righteous law of God, the just and the justifier. And in the sacrificial system that was set up by God through Moses, how was that handled? They would come and they would sacrifice animals. And that blood of the ox and the lamb and the goat, that was symbolic. But when the just and the justifier came, that mercy that God, by the mercies of God, the Holy Spirit told Paul, by the mercies of God. So this is the evidence that we have to show. You ever been beholding to someone for something they did for you? Don't you feel like you need to repay him back in full, Jerry? Maybe even double? Pressed down and heaped up and running over. I read that somewhere. Here is the just and the justifier who gave us a gift that was free to us. He died, fulfilled the law completely, did not sin. The spotless, unblemished sacrifice that paid the price with his blood. Sin cannot be washed away with water. It's not like washing your hands after a hard shift of doing a brake job. That's the hardest dirt to ever get off. Sin has to be washed with blood. Spotless, unblemished, perfect. God sent his only Son, and while yet we were still sinners, we were still enemies of God, he came down, set his glory aside. I don't know how much glory you think you have. I know I have none. But at times, don't you go, look what I did. I did that. I built that. This is my pile of stuff. See what I did? God, who is indescribably majestic, glorious, righteous, set all that aside, sent his Son, who was made flesh, just like us, and dwelt among us, and yet was without sin. When you raised your children, if you have children, did any of them come out just perfect and the first thing they did was not sin? It's inherent. Did you do that? Nope. I never did it. It's not my fault. We do that. I do that. Oh, Lord. No. It's not my fault. When Isaiah was in the presence of the Lord and he came and he saw the glory of the Lord that filled the temple, and he said, woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people of unclean lips. I can't be here. And the seraphim went to the altar of God, and he got a red hot coal, and he brought it over, and he put it to his lips, and he said, your sin is forgiven you. And God said, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And what did Isaiah say? Not me. He said, here am I. Send me. There was a song written a few years back. And I can't tell you who wrote it. I can't tell you who sang it. I remember the gist of the song, and the songwriter said, well, we have, and I'm paraphrasing mightily here, there's all this going on over here, and there's all this going on over there. Lord, send somebody. Please, send somebody. And at the end of the song, the writer of the song said, God told me I sent you. Sorry to stray off like that. In Romans 11, gee, you see, we're nearly back to 12. starts with therefore again. So let's back up just a skosh. This is talk about Israel's rejection is not final. So I'm going to back up to 19 because now we're going to see that it says, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in the Gentile. And the branches broken off the natural olive tree were the nation Israel because of their unbelief. And so verse 20 says, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, verse 22, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in belief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if they were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted in? So the mercies of God, I don't know that you can even exhaust the mercies of God. There is absolutely no way. When the risen Christ, I believe it was a day or two after, there was a couple of disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were talking about all the things that had happened, the death of the Messiah. And Jesus approached them and he caught them. And he started a Genesis, what we have as Genesis. And he opened the scriptures to their understanding to see that the Christ must come and live among men and suffer and die. They knew these scriptures, and yet they did not understand. Understanding of Scripture, in my opinion, does not start right here. It starts right here. A life of worship, where does it start? Right here. And there's no end. I'm going to show you when I read this verse, I am invariably overcome. So I'll try not to be smitten this morning. It's in Isaiah 6. So we're talking about mercies of God. And what is our, now we're going to see, what is our reasonable service? So flip over to Isaiah 6, if you will, if you don't need to. But this is where Isaiah was called to be a prophet. And I don't want to leave out the very first part, the part that I want to focus on, I'll draw your attention to. But if you start in 6 verse 1, it identifies when this happened, but what we're going to look at is the service of the seraphim. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, and one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Verse 3, and the one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This cry, the song of the seraphim, is unceasing. You know what the power of this song is? Listen to this. Verse 4, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. And this is when Isaiah becomes undone in the presence of a holy and righteous God. Can you imagine serving as a seraphim? Do you think they have a thought to, well, you know, I think it's break time. When does this shift end? Can I go home now? No. Why do they serve like that? They're created. We're created. Why? Do you think they love the master a little? What do you do for love? Do you go out of your way to help your son, your daughter, your grandkids? Yes. Do you love your wife as Christ loves the church? I speak as a man. No, I don't do that. But I long to do that. We all should long to do that because of love for the Father. Reasonable service. John chapter 14. What is reasonable service? I just showed you what the seraphim do. They worship God day and night. In John 14, you're going to see a lot of red letters here in John. Let's start in verse 12 of John 14. Jesus had just finished giving a discourse. When Philip asked him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. And Jesus told him, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? If you see me, you have seen the Father. And now this discourse This is answered prayer. Verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. Oh, it's kind of explicit. Oh, Lord, please buy me a Mercedes-Benz. Sorry, I couldn't help myself, Archie. Is that what I should be prayed for? Is God going to be glorified by me having a Mercedes-Benz? No, he's not. I might be. Me, myself, and I. Jesus said that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. James answers the question then. You say, well, you know, I ask for health, and I ask for money, and I ask for more time. And James says, well, you know, if you don't get what you ask for, maybe you ask amiss. And this doesn't glorify God. His ways are so much higher than our ways, I can't even imagine that he demands that you go through bad health, arthritis, a heart attack, cancer, loss. You're not going to lose your salvation. This is not your home. This is not my home. We're transients. We're just passing through here. Everything we have, he gave us. It's his. Be a steward who divides it all out rightly. I have a hard time with that. I confess. When he gives it to me, I love it. It's not mine. It's his to give. It's his to take. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you an orphan. I will come to you. We're in 14, just back up to 13. Verse 31. This is the new commandment that Jesus gave. We have the Ten Commandments. This is the new commandment that Jesus gave. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Reasonable service? Well, it's easy to love the ones it's easy to love, Lord. But you know, my neighbor, they were standing on the porch last night and they were screaming and they were, it didn't sound good. They were blaspheming, using your name in vain. I can rationalize my behavior if I allow myself to do that. Here I am, send me. Nope, I want to snuggle down in my bed and I don't want to help. I don't want to get out of myself. I'm safe here. Really. I sent you. I look at this crowd. Many of you know I'm from here, but many of you are not. But God drew you here. He put you here, whether you believe it or not. Did you come rejoicing? Oh, look at this, the land of plenty, milk and honey. There's no trees here in Nevada much, is there? God bless you for coming, being obedient. He brings his church, his body together as he sees fit. We're all at a different place in our walk with God, but he puts us all together to accomplish his will that he may be glorified. That's your job. You're not retired. No, no. You might think you are from this world, but he can use you, and he uses you. Whether you believe it or not, he'll use you. Just show up. Reasonable service. When I first was asked to teach Sunday school, I got to admit, I was past nervous. I wasn't afraid, because I knew the Word of God. But I didn't want to do this. Not even to 10. I was out of myself. Thank God. He conforms us to His image. And it doesn't happen like that. Boy, I wish it would. But little by little, that sacrifice, that willing sacrifice to die to self. Come follow me, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life.